Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We are so grateful that you have joined us. Today is August the 28th, 2019. Time is flying by swiftly. I can already feel fall in the air, and you probably too. And unfortunately, we do hear bad weather's coming our way. Here in the south, we have got to really be watched for the hurricane that is brewing. But August 29th, September's upon us, and we're going to be joined in just a little bit by our dear friend, Miss Barbara Moore, our co-host. And, you know, we are really all about the children. That's why we do this show, is to hopefully inform parents all over that's listening. We've had some really incredible guests in the past, and we're going to try to do this more regular. I apologize that we've not been able to keep it up once a week even. We are so busy. But hopefully, in the future, you're going to hear a lot of different variety. Different guests will be coming in at different nights to join us, and one of them is our dear friend, Joan Landis. I call her the mental health expert. She does know a whole bunch about what's going on in schools, what's going on with kids, and she's just full of great information to help parents. And as a matter of fact, she even has a website that can help young people with what's going on. It's called Resilified. Let me, if you'll go to our website, hopeinc.tv, H-O-P-E-I-N-K, not I-N-C, but I-N-K.tv, then you will find it. So anyway, yeah, it's in the website. It's a link to hopeinc.tv. It's got a link. Okay, and I see Miss Barbara Moore. Hi, Miss Barbara. How are you?
Hi, Diana. I'm just fine. How are you?
I am fine. I cannot do a monologue. Part of the time, Miss Barbara. It's just different.
Hey, who can? I remember those times that I was left.
I'm sorry.
Nobody can do that. I mean, very few people can. Very few. And I'm not one of
them. Well, Rush Limbaugh, I think Rush Limbaugh knows there's other people listening to him in his ear. So he's still not completely, you know, alone.
Yeah.
But
right,
there is a
right.
difference when you're alone. But Miss Barbara, as always, you know, we like to start the show in prayer. And I think, you know, what the world needs really is an awful lot of prayer. There's so many hurting people, and we, you know, we talk about that for those that do not know why. We try to really awaken them to the problem. But if you don't mind, I'm going to turn it over to you and just give us some nuggets and start us with prayer if you'd like.
I would like to, Diana. I'd like to start with prayer. I would like to share some things after that, perhaps. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you in the name of Jesus. We can come to your throne of grace and mercy. And, Father, we can come right into your presence because we have that freedom of access. We can come boldly to the throne, your throne, Lord, into your arms, because you want us to. You love your family, oh God. You love your family, and you want us. And that is so reassuring. That is so comforting. And, Father, for anyone who does not know you yet, oh, Father, we pray that they will come to know you soon through your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are grateful We are grateful, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us, that we now have this relationship with you, this love with you, that it just surpasses everything. We thank you that we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. We thank you, Father, that we can have love in the midst of hatred. We can, Father, you just make all things possible for your family. You do so much for us, Lord. Your word tells us that every day you load us down with benefits. Open our eyes, God, that we can see how great those benefits are. Father, if it were nothing more than the beautiful sunshine that we see in the sky and the beauty of all creation, Father, that is so much. But, Father, you give us so much more. And, Father, you're concerned about everything in our lives. So, Father, those who are listening, I pray, oh, God, that you would meet their needs now. And that, Father, that they would know you as their provider, as their love, as their loved one, as their father. Father, in every way, everything they need, I pray that they will come to know you as the giver of all good gifts. Father, we thank you for this time on the radio. We thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to share you and share the truth that we have learned from you. Father, we thank you that you will be with us. And, Father, that what we do is not in vain, but it has purpose. You have a plan for it. And it's a good plan, Lord. It's to bring blessings. We thank you for that. Father, we lift up all those that are in. We lift up the storm to you, Father. We pray with many others, Father, that it will dissipate, that this forming a hurricane, Father, that it will dissipate, not bring damage or loss of life or injury, Lord. We do pray that, Lord. Again, Father, agreeing with others, many are praying for the same thing, and we just agree with them, Father, as touching. And, Father, we ask for your mercy in this storm, your mercy, O God. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what's happening, that injustice is being exposed in our highest realms of our country. We thank you, Father, that you are all about justice, Lord, that there's one law for all. Father, there's one cross for all. There's 10 commandments for all. We are equal at the foot of the cross, Lord. It's that justice has no eyes, nor that doesn't see the rich from the poor or the famous from the obscure. But you look upon the heart, Lord, and you judge according to that and to the behavior, Lord. And I pray, Lord, we would learn your sense of justice. And, Father, we thank you now for all of these requests we're making. And we just say you are such a good Father to us, and we just love you so much. And we want everyone to know you and love you and be with you forever throughout all eternity, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. And I titled this week, let's see if I can read it. He's got it covered. Weekly news summary. I thought we will do a weekly news summary where we can debunk the lies and also talk about our children's future are not for sale. You know, it seems like, Ms. Barbara, we hear so many lies. And it's like people, unfortunately, are believing some of these lies. And I'm thinking, surely you know better. But, Ms. Barbara, what is going on that people are still so gullible as to, you know, and you're seeing the mantra of hate, hate, hate. And what causes that? I just don't understand it.
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into that. But for one thing, you know, until we are born of God's Spirit. And until we give ourselves to God, because He created us, and He wants that union. He wants us to have that union with Him. And until we do, there's a veil over our eyes. The Bible speaks of it, a veil over our eyes that we see, but we don't understand. And the Bible says, in God's light, we shall see light. We shall have understanding. And so there are lots of people now who do not have that knowledge of God and that relationship with Him and spend that time with Him to get to know Him, to get to know His truth of His Word, and to develop that with Him, to be able to have knowledge, understanding, wisdom, as it speaks about in the book of Proverbs. And so there's that. There's spiritual blindness. And then there's cultural ignorance, that we're, so many of us are ignorant of the past, whether our own history here in this country. We don't have any knowledge of how things began, how they're supposed to be, and how, and again, you know, the founding fathers, they followed God's blueprint. And so what they created in this nation was holy. I mean, it just, it was. It was not perfect, but it was a plan that was based upon God's truth, His principles, and the desire to please Him. And they knew that they were supposed to do that. The people today don't know they're supposed to do that. I mean, they think that they're here to live their own lives, and I gotta do it my way, and all this stuff. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie. We're not here to do it our way. Our way stinks. It's bad. Until we surrender our lives to the Lord and let Him fill us with His Holy Spirit, our ways are not good ways. Until our ways are God's ways, they're not good ways. But when we get to know the Lord and His ways, and He begins to change us and remove these things that do not please Him from us, then we're able to learn more and more of Him. And as we desire to please Him more and to live for Him, not for ourselves, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know? And so there's all of that. I think that's huge. A huge part of this. And then there's the miseducation, the revisionist history, where miseducation, we're not even learning basics, you know, and we're not learning to think. We're being taught what to think, not how to think. And we don't have any basis for evaluation or analyzing things. And the Bible also says in the book of Proverbs, the simple believe every word. You see these people falling for all these crazy arguments and all this stupid stuff. Well, the Bible says the simple believe every word. Ah, but the prudent, the wise, look well to his going. The prudent and wise look at how things have gone. And what this one stands for, what's the history of this, you know. It's not just believing mm-hmm. everything that you're told. So that's part of it.
Well, Miss Barbara, I guess it's like you said, we have gotten away from what's right. And it's just, I think, Miss Barbara, you know, we see so much in the news about the young people and how, they're following Antifa. They love socialism. And, you know, and the young people are being taught by liberal professors that that is the right way. And CNN and all those are, of course, you know, they're promoting these things. They're promoting the Ocasio-Cortez, which, you know, this is the way to go. We've got to have this Green New Deal, and Bernie Sanders with his trillions of dollars that if you elect me, look, I'm going to straighten everything up and I'm going to spend more money than we actually have in the coffers, but he's going to make sure that everybody's treated fairly. And I think, Ms. Barbara, I think we know a lot of why that is happening, because we know that the education system has been so messed up. And it's sad that there's a lot of people that still do not realize the education system is so messed up. And there's a lot of them, unfortunately, that are Christians, that are in churches, that, you know, they will blame everything else. But really, it's almost like they either have no clue, or maybe they don't really want to even be convinced that, you know, the ed system has been, in essence, taken over. I mean, who likes to think about the fact that the ed system is now promoting an anti-American mindset? If you're in the education system, it's really a hard thing to see your profession going that way. But I think it's like a drunk. Until you say the truth and face up to the fact of the truth that you are a drunk, I don't know that you can get well.
So you're saying that we have to face up to the truth that the education system has been kidnapped and taken over. And I think you have a good point, a very good point. I wish we could do that, Diana.
I think one of the first things we can do, Ms. Barbara.
They've been speaking with their feet. They've been taking their kids out of the school systems and into private education or into homeschool, and that's how they've been speaking. And they haven't known how to deal with it themselves, so they have to watch it. They have to, you know, God requires us to take care of our own children, and so they are. And they're taking them and putting them in better schools. So, but I don't know that the education gurus are firmly entrenched, aren't they?
And yes, I really think, Ms. Barbara, the NEA has got to be seen for what it is. I mean, it is putting out orders. It is taking orders, and it's putting out orders. We know that it is it will stand with Planned Parenthood all the way in promoting abortion, and have no qualms about it. And for a teacher to keep giving to such an organization, knowing that, and they're not apologizing, they're not hiding, that was in their last convention, that they wholly support Planned Parenthood. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a teacher, I would at the very least make sure that my money does not go towards supporting the NEA. And that's something they can actually do, because there was a law passed where they can do that. So if you're a teacher that still thinks, you know, I've got to keep supporting the NEA, there's other Christian organizations now. There's a Christian organization called CEAI, Christian Educators Association International, Mr. Finn Larson, who we got to meet many years ago, that could represent them and really stand with them, because we heard one lady, a teacher, that said, you know, they represented me, I think, two times, and, you know, she won. So there are other ways.
Diana, did our legislature ever pass a law? I know we talked about it years ago. We talked about the fact that it is not right, it is unconstitutional, it's illegal for unions to be able to use school staff to take money out of the teachers' salaries and put it into the union. That's not the proper role of government workers to pay for a private union services, you know, to service this union. Did our legislature ever deal with that?
I think the national did, Ms. Barbara. There was a national, because I remember seeing that article on that earlier this year, that, you know, they are no longer tied to, they're no longer able to force teachers to,
I'm not talking about force. I'm talking about actually withdraw from the checks of teachers in their pay. In other words, they should have to, like everybody else, if they want to pay a union, they should have to write a personal check of their own to the union and not use school staff to handle the union service.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm thinking what I thought I read was they don't have to, you know, they don't have to pay those dues anymore. But I don't know about breaking that off as far as them running it through the school system.
It should be broken off. It should be broken off because no other group gets such priority and gets to use school funds. See, those secretaries, you know, they enter all that stuff in computers and everything. That's on our time. That's on our dime. They should be doing that.
It sure makes it much easier, that's for sure. Well, that could be a law, Ms. Barbara. That would be a good idea.
It should be a law.
Oh, thank goodness, because they're no longer required to, so why are we supporting it? Why are we using our time, our money?
Yeah, that is a great idea.
Okay, Ms. Barbara, there's one solution. You can put that one down.
Okay.
Another solution,
right,
Ms. Barbara, that I think needs to happen is we need to get fake news CNN out of our schools. Why are we allowing them to be? That needs to be gone from all over the country. I think everybody needs to go to their school board locally and demand it be gone, or put something like, you know, Hannity, you know, every other day. You know, if you want that, but they're not going to go that extreme. But I think if we start demanding that that accountability, that fairness that they always say we're going to be fair in our schools, then they will probably get rid of CNN. But nobody's going to the schools. I think we need to start a movement, Ms. Barbara, going to our schools, county school boards, local or city school board meetings, and demanding that be taken off, because that's not necessary. That's 10 minutes a day, and it's used in discussion. It's almost probably an hour long for some teachers that are very, you know, liberal. So, and if you do that 5 days a week, well, you're basically promoting the indoctrination that CNN is promoting.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember a couple of years ago, I became aware that here in Dothan, the schools were showing CNN. And I remember looking into it and, you know, I don't know, I was told different things. And I did not go forward with that. But we should. We really should, because that is very harmful to our children. And, of course, you know, Channel 1 has gotten back on the scene also. It was put out by the state school board some years ago. But I think it's come back. Diana, do you hear static?
I don't.
Okay. Okay, that's okay.
Can you hear
it? Yeah, I'm good.
You're hearing it right now.
I don't hear it right now. And maybe no one else hears it but me.
I think we need to really think about, because something so little as that is really huge, because that's exactly what they want. They want to affect the mindset, because we've got to look at the problem. the problem is bad. Why is it so bad? Well, it's everything that's in that school system that shouldn't be there, and that is one of those things that should not be there.
Yes.
And I think that we can take away. It's not going to take an act of Congress to take that away. It's just going to act. It's going to take some determined parents to take that away, and that can debunk a lot of the lies because, you know, I mean, for children to hear that, it's nothing but propaganda. And their minds are so young and not so full of logic yet that they're easily misled. So I think if we leave it there, I mean, we are just going to see more increase of. And I really think that's one of the reasons CNN doesn't mind lying. I believe one of the reasons they put those lies out there is because they know that that's going to come in a schoolroom and those kids are going to hear it and there's not going to be anybody going against the lies. But because it's on TV, you know how kids are gullible, they're going to think it's the honest truth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you hit the nail on the head as to one of the reasons that you have young people not able to really think for themselves, but they're just thinking about what they're told to think. And CNN is a very good example. And it needs to be stopped. They do not present both sides of any issue. That's all lopsided. It's all from a socialist, communist viewpoint. And so, you know, that's all the kids are being indoctrinated with. And they're not able to think until they have something, you know, some basis, some foundation upon which to think. And so you want them to think about those things that are true and honest and noble and good and lovely and worthy of good report and so forth, like Philippians 4:8. And, you know, we're to think on those things and we're to learn as much as we can, but we're not to be indoctrinated, and particularly when we're not in the formative, impressionable years.
For sure, Ms. Barbara. I think another thing, too, is, you know, CNN is spouting all this stuff about recession, you know. That's another one of those lies that we're hearing, you know.
They're
but
pushing recession.
When you hear the experts, I mean, really, and you don't even have to listen to the experts, Ms. Barbara. You can just see that there's more people at work. You know, there's a difference in what it was. And unfortunately, under the Obama administration, you are just seeing a flood of businesses, you know, that were closed and staying closed.
That's right, going under.
You're actually seeing more people on the road, driving, spending, eating out, going to wherever, vacation. You know, the traffic, I've been told the traffic is the worst it's ever been. And people don't drive a lot when they don't have the money.
That's right.
When they
That's
don't
right.
have the money, but they're driving everywhere because they've got more jobs, more money. And but I think, you know, from what these experts are saying, it sounds like we're really doing bad, but what it is the whole world is doing bad and they're coming and running to us. You know?
Right.
And it's like they
right.
said
Thanks.
Germany's actually with their socialist policies, and when you have open borders, you can't help but your money be sucked down the drain, and really that's what we've seen with Germany. So it's no wonder that they're now hitting a recession. I mean, money, there's an end to the money that they can make with so many new influx of people that's actually not working and getting the system down, which is, you know, what's happening here. That's why you know, President Trump's got to do what he's got to do. There's got to be an order here or else, you know, Social Security even won't be safe because, you know, it's got to fund Medicaid. I've always heard Medicaid is one of the worst programs in the world because it makes a sucking noise. And it just, you know, when somebody gets sick, you know how it is. I mean, you just don't have enough money to help everybody. And with Medicaid, a lot of people that are very sick are on it. And here they are coming from other countries draining. So, and Medicaid affects everything else. I mean, you know, it's like, go figure. It's coming from the same pot, right, Ms. Barbara? I mean, there's a hole here and a hole there, but they act like, oh, Social Security is going to be safe. Well, no, they're all coming from the same pot. So eventually, you know, that's going to be gone too. So I think, you know, even if you're a liberal and you really care and you want to help other people, I think you've got to kind of have some common sense and know that, you know, at some point, you've got to have some order, because you don't let strangers come into your house and steal everything that you work for your children, for your family, just because they want to.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, when you just give to people, you know, it's human nature that one does not appreciate what one does not work for and earn and provide for oneself. And it hurts the individuals that receive the welfare. It hurts them. It does not help. It might temporarily help them, but it creates a dependency that destroys individuals. And, you know, God, you look back, God created mankind, and he created work for man. This was before sin entered in. This was before the fall of man. God gave Adam work. He gave him work. He gave, and in that work, he gave him purpose. And he was to produce, and he was to achieve, and he was to succeed, and all of these things that he puts in the being of man and woman. And this is within us, you know, these desires to accomplish and achieve and produce and all of these things, and to have dominion over our world. God gave mankind dominion over the world, and we're to develop the resources in it. We're to use our brains and our brawn, our bodies. We're to use everything to do these things. And so it doesn't help mankind to give them and prevent them from doing work and developing their own potential and their own gifts, because God created each one of us, every one of us, to have gifts and abilities, and they're not the same. None of them are the same. We're all individuals. We have different fingerprints. We have a different number of hair on our heads that God knows the count to. And he knows us, and he has a plan for us. Bible says he's already ordained, even before we're born, he's ordained the good works that we're to walk in, you know. And he's placed these talents and abilities within us to be able to do good works and to be satisfied, because it's in giving that you become satisfied, whether it's, you know, it's giving yourself and so forth. So we do a lot of harm by trying to, quote unquote, play God, so to speak, you know, and make God wants us as individuals to be able to make decisions and right decisions, and he works with us that way. You know, we make a mistake and he'll dust us off and stand us up again, you know, and we learn from it.
Wow.
I mean,
oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. That is so true. I love the American tradition of, you know, the founding fathers who, you know, ventured and sacrificed for their posterity, right? That's really been the, it's the legacy of the founding fathers. It's one generation will sacrifice for the next generation, and it keeps getting better and better. But
that's right.
Always at the beginning, it was founded on the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you how to treat one another. He tells you not to steal, not to kill.
That's
things
right.
That, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a liberal or an atheist. You don't want somebody stealing from you. You don't want anybody killing you. I mean, you know, these
Man.
Are common
yeah,
sense things, but
right.
People that are liberal, they're atheists, they look at it as no, that's not fair. How can that be unfair? You know, thou shalt not steal. And essentially, I mean, what they want to do is share what other people have made with other people who didn't make them. I mean, who didn't work for them. And yeah. To me, that's stealing. That is really stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is stealing. Yeah. You know, in Thessalonians it says, and the Jamestown settlers, John Smith, Captain John Smith, practiced this. He who does not work shall not eat. You know, if you want to eat, you have to work. You know, and that's right there in the Bible in Thessalonians. And I tell you something else,
wow.
Captain John Smith used to do. I love this. And I have a picture of it somewhere. I had some pictures printed up. I believe it was Dr. Catherine Millard that did a coloring book and had this picture in it. But anyways, Jamestown, you know, after 1607, and Jamestown settlement, here's Captain John Smith, and he's in charge because he's the leader. He becomes the leader. He's a great leader. And when someone curses, when a man curses and it's known, then in the cold, he has the one who curses hold his hands up in the air, and he pours ice-cold water down their sleeves. Isn't that an unusual? But that's how they did it. That's how they did it.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I would like that.
No, no, they didn't either. I don't think they cursed very much after that. No.
That's nice.
They had their ways. They had their ways.
Oh, those were the good ways. And Ms. Barbara, I was looking up a little bit about Antifa, and I was looking up about the Democrat Socialists of America, the DSA, and, you know, they had the great big convention, and they have formed a committee, an anti-fascist committee, Antifa. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's really dangerous because you're promoting pretty much their would you say it's sedition that they are promoting? Because, you know, they want more people to go in school.
That's a good word. That's a good word. It's not used very much anymore, but you're right on, Diana, sedition. And this is the George Soros group. Is that correct?
Bottom line, yes. We know that, you know, Antifa, I remember what the first instance is when they were doing things and we were hearing George Soros. But this is the Ocasio-Cortez and, you know, socialist groups. But Democrat Socialists of America, they're promoting people to go into the education field to build themselves, you know, an army of sorts. And but, yeah, they had a great big convention, which was unruly. But pretty much it sounded like, you know, big support for the Bernie Sanders was the takeaway. But they did form some kind of an anti-fascist committee. And Ms. Barbara, would you talk about sedition? And to me, I'm thinking to myself, I know you cannot pass a law because a lot of Democrats just don't have their minds right. They really don't care for their country. They don't care if we lose our country because I think that's what they want. They want to be globalists. But for the rest of us that want our country, if we had a majority Republican in the Senate, in the House someday, there is a possibility that I think this is one of the bills that they need to pass, which is you do not hire teachers that are members of the Democrat Socialists of America because they're really trying to foment sedition in our schools. What do you think, Ms.
Education needs to be in the hands of parents and local communities. Period.
But
don't you think it's so anti-American?
I mean, why would?
Oh, absolutely.
I know we're a free country and we allow things, but isn't that? I mean, to me, it's like you're allowing the enemy in. Somebody who hates your government, who wants to break up your government. Why would you allow them to have access to your children to teach them to someday form a revolution. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that, would you think in a right thinking world that would be against our United States Constitution?
Yeah.
Or am I wrong?
And you're forging the chains that will bind you. You are absolutely forging the chains that will bind you if you allow it. If you allow it. And you should not allow it. There have to be standards. When public education started out, teachers were not even allowed to marry.
Oh, really?
Not even allowed
We've come a long way.
Right. Right. And you had to be the most upstanding member in the community. There were standards to be met. And you had to be a churchgoer, of course. And, even to hold public office in the original 13 states, the state governments required, most all of them, if not all of them, required that you take an oath that you believe in God, and many of them had that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you are a Christian, and that you know, all of this. This was it wasn't on the national level, but in the state governments it was. And then, of course, people who were in the state governments became national leaders after this. They served in the state governments like they do today. You know, they move up the ladder some. And but that was not unconstitutional. This was under the United States Constitution that this was done. And, there are standards. And I don't think, though, that we can get back to any kind of control over our education system until we get back to local control and cut off the funds. If the federal government wanted to give funds, they should give them to the states totally without restrictions, and let the states decide where to spend the education money, because the federal government is not authorized by the Constitution to have any part in education. If you look at the proper role of government and the purpose of government in the preamble to the Constitution, you'll see that there is no place for education at the federal level, at the national level, ever. And there's not been an amendment to require it. It's illegal.
So really, Ms. Barbara, I guess the push should be to get our president. It would need to be very loud, but he did say at one time he was looking at getting rid of the Department of Education. So you're thinking the push should be for that, to get rid of the Department of Education, which I think is what you're thinking, and then to make it where there's block grants that states can use for different things.
Yeah. Diana, it will shut down ESSA totally, which we have so many.
We need to be crying loud on that, then, Ms. Barbara. We need to really be crying that loud. And but I really think this president is busy right now, but I'm praying that, you know, that he gets in another 4 years. And because unfortunately to me, the education system is really what they want. It is their bottom line, because that's why they're playing all these other tricks, trying to take the eyes of the people off the ed system. Because what they want to do is really just control the minds of future generations. And we're seeing that with Antifa. You know, we're seeing the growth of who is very angry. It's the young people, you know. And I think it's
because... And what do they have to be angry about? What do they have to be born in the greatest country in the history of the world, to have the most freedom? We have more freedom in our country than 5% of the world's population from the beginning of the world till now. Only 5% of the people born have the kind of freedom we have in this country. Can you imagine that? and to be angry at this country?
Well, Miss Barbara, you know, the devil hasn't changed his tune. He is a liar from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. It's like my preacher has said, you know, they could have everything in that garden but that one thing, right? And I think to myself, that's what they've done to the children. They've told the young people, I mean, the children don't even understand that they really, it's like you said, they're very well off. They're very rich. But they don't think that. They think, oh, if I can just give away more money to that poor person, I would really be great. You know, that's what they're being told, right? Is, you know, you're missing something, and it's because you're not kind enough. Your country is not kind enough. Your country is not good enough. And it's like everything else is kind of dim for them, you know, because they're in that groupthink. And that is really, to me, that the perfect plan that they have enacted, which is to go through the minds of children, is the perfect plan, and there's not but one way to really undo that perfect plan. It's going to be the grace of God, the Word of God, and we just suggest that to parents, that they, you know, start reading to your children the Bible, the Word. Let them see the Word of God. Let them know the history, you know, about the Word of God. Let them know about their own history, like you say, Ms. Barbara. The more you know about our history, the more you love God. But it's so simple. But yet there's so much power, because I think once they start, to me it's like, Miss Barbara, you know how we take a bath every day? So we want to be clean, right? Yeah. We're going to take a bath. But we have to also take a bath spiritually, and that means we have to use that soap, that cleansing power of the Word of God. It does something supernatural. I know when I read Psalm 103, I don't understand it, but it calms me down. It calms me down in 10 minutes. I'm thinking, now what was I upset? And there's also the Numbers, a scripture on the Numbers, may the Lord bless you and shine his face. There is something about these scriptures that's very calming. And I just pray, Miss Barbara, that people would try it, because, I mean, we're missing out on the greatest weapon we have to fight for our children, which is the Word of God, for them to hear it, for them to read it. And you know, it's like doing the right thing. If you just do the right thing and trust God, because he tells you to do this, right? It works itself out. But if you don't even trust in God and put your faith in that God said, you know, you need to be reading the Word of God. He said that for a reason. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That came from the mouth of the Son of God. And we're missing out. And then we're flopping like a fish dying. As if we don't have any air, we can't breathe, we don't have any help. But the help is beautiful. It is right there. And like I said, I don't understand it, Miss Barb. You know yourself. You prayed many a times, and voila, you don't understand how it happened. But God brought a miracle. You know, it's just people are not trying that anymore. They're being formed by this world to think that the Bible is something that you need to sit in the corner. And that's a lie from the devil.
That is a lie from the devil, for sure, for sure. I remember one of my children said one time, Mommy would die without the Bible. Mommy would die without the Bible. I remember that. Would die without the Bible. Yeah. And I would. I would. I would die spiritually, for sure. You know,
Barbara, that is beautiful.
We need God's word, and you know, when he lives within us, then we want God's word. We want it. We know we have to have it, but also we want it. We want to know him better. We want to love him more deeply. And as we spend time with him and in his word every day, like you said, getting that daily bath, that daily shower, you know, we get renewed, we get refreshed, we get cleansed, you know, and he's able to, you know, we yield to him, and then and then he can give us what he wants to give us, you know, what we need for others. It's just a beautiful thing, and I know you want that for every person, and I do too. There's just nobody like the Lord. There's nothing like being in right relationship mm-hmm. with him, and there's nothing like spending time with him every day and mm-hmm. enjoying his presence.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, I hear the news. There's so much in the news. Well, there's so much in Facebook, right? So much information about things that are going on that are so bad. And it can get overwhelming because, you know,
yes.
you can barely get up and get your work done. But then you are concerned about this people. You are concerned about the children. You're concerned about your country. You're concerned for other people's countries. You know, you have such, I mean, if you're a child of God, he wants us to be concerned. He's made us to be concerned. But, you know,
yeah.
there's only so much we can do. But I think one of the most powerful things, and I love that about the story of Ben Carson, you know, we tell that for you that have not heard it. Here's a, you know, Ben Carson. You know, he's in charge of the Housing Administration now, but he's a doctor, a renowned doctor, the first one to separate Siamese twins successfully. But that doctor, Ben Carson, lived in the ghettos. I think it was around Chicago or somewhere like that. And his mother, I think, Baltimore.
Actually,
his
Baltimore,
mother,
I think.
Whoa. His mother didn't even have a high school education. I think she got up to the fifth grade or something like that. But she was so frustrated because her two sons were the dummies in their classes. And she asked God for help. And she, you know, talks about how God told her to tell them, take them to the library and let them start reading and doing two book reports. And they didn't know that she could not read. But
that's
she would listen to
that's
them.
Right.
She would listen
yeah.
to them. And lo and behold, what God has done out of her listening to something that God had inspired her to do for her children, it taught them a love for reading. And that's one of the basic things, Ms. Barbara, that I've heard you and others talk about. I remember a lady who sends her kids to school college by 12, Mona Lisa Harding, she said, what we do every day is we read the Word of God. That's a given. We read the Word of God every day to start our day. But then she said she developed their love for reading. She lets them read, and she's homeschooling them. And she lets them read, like if they want to read about butterflies, read all the butterfly books you can. If you want to read about the cosmos, read about the cosmos all you want.
Yeah.
And she said
yeah.
what it did was develop that love for reading. And I'm thinking, Joan Landa said, you know, that there's an age where if you are letting that child, you're nurturing that child where they're excited about learning and they're growing, that by, you know, they don't have to be in a school like by age 4, right, and get all this training. That child
right.
can go to school at later age because she said there's a certain age, and I think she said 12, if that child is being raised properly and that mind is being nurtured properly, kind of like Mona Lisa Harding, you know, they're reading, she's letting them love reading, right? They're loving to study. She said by the age 12, I think, it's like a flower in bloom. They start sucking up more information because they're ready. Their brain
yeah.
has been developing the right way. They were not scared. They're not reading those scary books that's in the library, The Color of Truth or whatever, you know, the horrible books that's in Unfortunate Elementary. They're not doing that. They're reading good books so that by the age
yeah.
of 12, my goodness, they are now able to start taking in more, and then she lets them take like dual, you know, enrollment and things like that. You know, they start taking more courses. And it's just by the age of college by 12. They're into college. I mean, she had 10 kids that she did that way, and her system worked, but it was founded on the Word of God, which, and then she had them develop that love, as you were saying earlier, of reading.
And the love of learning. They also then develop that love of learning as they're pursuing things that interest them, not just things that interest them, but to have that freedom also. Of course, they need to learn basic things as well, but to have that freedom to pursue, you know, as you said, butterflies, and they go until they learn all they want to learn, and it's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous to see a child in love with learning, in love with reading, and it's such a blessing to them and for them and for their lives, and they're lifelong learners that way too. It's not just something that's thought about as a subject to study, and then you go on to another subject, and then, no, it's all of life. They're learning all of life, and that's a beautiful, beautiful way to be. So, well, Diana,
and Barbara, it's such a
different
program. Oh, time's almost gone, Ms. Barbara. We're gonna, we want to pray with them, because I have heard so many heartbreaking stories about even a teacher. I mean, a really sad story about a teacher who ran over somebody twice, ran over frontwards and backwards. And I know teachers are stressed out, and it was a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, but. I just feel for these teachers, because we know the good teachers are so stressed out. The children are so stressed out. And this is why we fight against indoctrination, the wrong teaching that is in the Common Core initiative. We know it doesn't work. It's made the kids dumber. It's frustrating the kids so that there's more bullying in schools. It's frustrating to the parents because they can't teach the children. So the atmosphere at home is not conducive to family time anymore. There's just that wedge in between the parent and child that's been brought on by this new system. And then the teacher themselves, they're struggling. And it's, Ms. Barbara, it's just, you know, they're making people not be able to function and think right. And I think it's going to take a miracle from God. We're going to have to just lift them up and ask God for that miracle, and that for parents to please read the Bible with your child. Let their system get back right. We were created by God. The Word is with us, and it's so important. And so I'm just really heartbroken with the news that I heard, because I feel for that teacher. That now, you know, she's the mother of two children, and now she's just ruined her life. But same time, I remember the stress that's going on in schools, and I, you know, all these things affect us. And I remember what our friend Joan Landis said. You know, what Common Core does is add more stress, and we don't need more of that. You know,
we need right
learning, right thinking. Well, with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, can we pray? Can you pray for these parents, these teachers, and these children?
I would love to, but I started the show with prayer, and I would like to join you with prayer and have you pray.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you and thank you for the Word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, we just ask the parents to please heed your Word. To Lord, if they are hurting for their children, if they're hurting for themselves, for them to realize, Lord, that you, Lord Heavenly Father, who gave your Son to die on the cross, you did not withhold any good thing for us. You even sent your Son to show us the way. And Lord, he was a servant. He humbled himself. He washed the disciples' feet. He was flogged for our sins, Lord. And he said, Father, forgive them to those who put him on the cross, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, he did all that to show us that there is a way to overcome evil, that he was able, and that we can too. And, Lord, the Word is so important. So, Lord, we just ask everyone listening to try the Word, to get out that Holy Bible, to read it, Lord, to ask you for a word for their families, to know, Lord, that you love them, you love their children, and, Lord, you are able to make a way when there seems to be no way.
And Lord, we pray that we will rise out of the ashes, Lord, loving you more, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Bless our president, Lord. Bless our leaders. And help us, Lord, to come back to you. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord. Amen. Ms. Barbara,
Amen.
Thank you for letting me say that prayer. If you don't mind, say some words and just close it. I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that we get to get together and share our thoughts and speak the truth that the Lord gives us. And so we thank you for joining in with us tonight and hope you'll join us again. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Bye-bye.